Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. I'm mentioning her, as I did Saint Dominic yesterday, because there are some saints who, in particular periods in history, they always give us wisdom and insight. But I think that certainly Saint Dominic yesterday and Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross have words to speak to us. They have a message to give us that I think we need to heed. Saint Teresa Benedicta was born in 1891. She grew up in a German Jewish household. She became an atheist. Listen to that, an atheist at the age of 14. And then converted to Catholicism during her philosophic studies. If you want to read a good biography, read a biography of Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, or her name before she entered religious life was Edith Stein. Edith Stein. It's well worth reading. Magnificat's commentary says, at the age of 42, she entered the Carmelites as Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. At her profession in 1938, in the face of growing German anti-Semitism, she told her prioress, that's her superior, and I quote, "Human action cannot help us, but only the sufferings of Christ." My aspiration, that means my hope, my aspiration, is to share them. I want to share in the sufferings of Christ. Look at that incredible revolution in her life to faith in Jesus Christ. She said, my aspiration is to share them. I want to share the suffering of Christ. That's great courage. And in 1942, the Gestapo apprehended Teresa in Holland, where they had fled for safety. But they found them there, and they took her. And 7 days later, she perished in the gas chamber at Auschwitz. Pope John Paul canonized her in 1998 as a martyr for love. It was out of her love for Christ that she wanted to identify with him. Brothers and sisters, that's living faith. And that's the kind of faith that God wants to give every single one of us. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to die. We all die someday. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to die for the faith, but it is to say, Lord, I want to follow in your footsteps as closely as I can. You might say, oh, well, that's for nuns and priests to do. No, it's the call on all of us, baptized Catholic. It's a call on all of us to want to live with Christ, in Christ, through Christ, for Christ. Ask God for grace. Grace is God sharing himself with us. God gives us wisdom. He gives us courage. He gives us insight. Above all, he gives us love. He increases our faith and our hope. Cast your lot with him. And Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, pray for us. The reading this morning is taken from the book of Numbers, chapter 13. It skips around a bit on verses, so it begins with verse 1 and ends with verse 35, but it jumps around a bit, so do your best. The Lord said to Moses in the desert of Paran, "Send men to reconnoiter the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. You shall send one man from each ancestral tribe, all of them princes." After reconnoitering the land for 40 days, they returned, met Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation of the children of Israel in the desert of Paran at Kadesh, made a report to them all, and showed the fruit of the country to the whole congregation. they told Moses. Now remember, they've been traveling for many years in the desert. And now they've taken sight of this land that looks good. And they're seeing what's there and what's possible. Is it inhabitable? Is it livable? Those scouts who had gone ahead said, "We went into the land to which you sent us. It does indeed flow with milk and honey, and here is its fruit. However, the people who are living in the land are fierce, and the towns are fortified and very strong. Besides, we saw descendants of the Anakim there. Amalekites live in the region of the Negeb. Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the highlands. Canaanites along the seacoast and the banks of the Jordan." Huh. People lamented right away. Then it's impossible. It's impossible. We have nothing. What do we have? What are we going to do? Caleb, however, to quiet the people toward Moses, said, "We ought to go up and seize the land. But we can certainly do so." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We cannot attack these people. They're too strong for us." So they spread discouraging reports among the children of Israel about the land they had scouted, saying, "The land that we explored is a country that consumes its inhabitants, and all the people we saw there are huge men. They don't want to fight the battle. They don't believe they can win. They don't have faith. We cannot attack these people. They're too strong for us." So they spread discouraging reports among the children of Israel about the land they had scouted, saying, "The land that we explored is a country that consumes its inhabitants. And all the people we saw there are huge men, veritable giants." The Anakim were a race of giants. "We felt like mere grasshoppers, and so we must have seemed to them." At this, the whole community broke out with loud cries, and even in the night, the people wailed. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "How long will this wicked assembly grumble against me? I have heard the grumblings of the children of Israel against me. Tell them, 'By my life,' says the Lord, 'I will do to you just what I heard you say. Here in the desert shall your dead bodies fall. 40 days you spent in scouting the land, 40 years shall you suffer for your crimes, 1 year for each day. Thus you will realize what it means to oppose me. I, the Lord, have sworn to do this to all this wicked assembly that conspired against me. Here in the desert they shall die to the last man.'" And that is what happened. It was their descendants who entered the promised land. They refused to believe. They refused to put their trust in God. Where are you? Where am I? Keep asking God for faith. Ask God to increase your faith. God asks us to follow him and to believe him and to trust him. Doesn't mean it always feels good. It can be very challenging. But if you put your trust in him, he will not disappoint you. Psalm 106, "Remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people. We have sinned, our fathers. We have committed crimes. We have done wrong. Our fathers in Egypt considered not your wonders. They forgot your works. They waited not for your counsel. They gave way to craving in the desert. They tempted God in the wilderness. They forgot the God who had saved them, who had done great deeds in Egypt, wondrous deeds in the land of Ham, terrible things at the Red Sea." But then he spoke of exterminating them because they refused to believe. But Moses, his chosen one, withstood him in the breach to turn back his destructive wrath. Moses pleaded on their behalf. So they got, in a certain sense, a stay of execution. And they all died in the desert. They did not see the promised land. It was the next generation that believed. What are you and I passing on to those who will come after us? What are we passing on? What do we believe? The Gospel of Matthew today, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. "At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. But he did not say a word in answer to her. His disciples ask him, send her away, for she keeps calling out after us. He said in reply, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She's a Canaanite. They didn't associate with them. Jesus is following at this moment in that tradition. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but the woman came and did him homage. She was not deterred by their basically wanting to throw her out. Where she got that courage could only have been because of her love for her child. And this woman came and did him homage, saying, Lord, help me. And he said in reply, it's not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. Whew, what an insult. And she said, please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters. Look at that humility. Out of love for her child, look at her willingness to keep on begging, knowing that she could be picked up and thrown out at any moment. And then Jesus said to her in reply, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed from that hour. What would you have done if you were in a similar circumstance? And the one that you thought could save your child was surrounded by people telling you to get out and get away. And even the master himself did not seem to be sympathetic to you. What would you have done? Out of love for her child, a parent's love, mother and father's love for their child will do, I was going to say almost anything, but I think they would do anything to protect and to save their child. That's right from the heart of God. That's how a parent should be, willing to do anything, sacrifice anything to protect their child from harm, spiritual and material and physical. You do anything. I've seen it. I've watched it. I watched parents sitting beside the bedside of a little girl who had been burned almost to death. She died within hours. They sat there holding her hand, telling her of their love for her. They were in agony, and yet to that child was given nothing but love, great love. It's a love of parents. Even when there's no hope, you parents are heroes and heroines in your love for your children. You're marvelous in your love for your children. You're imitating Jesus Christ. And when it's hard, and when you're afraid, and when you're angry, ask Jesus for the grace, and he will give it to you. May God abundantly bless all of us. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.